gather here. Welcome to His Stories Broadcast with Pastors Gil Michelle and Kevin Michelin. Every person has a journey in this life, and God is indeed with us in our journey. In this broadcast, you will be encouraged as you hear others share stories of ways that God has worked in their lives. If you are having questions about God, or you know Jesus and like being encouraged and inspired, then we ask that you pay close attention to the program to hear stories of changed lives. In both church and the courtroom, we call these stories testimonies. So stay tuned with Kevin and Gil as we hear some incredible testimonies from inspiring witnesses. It's time to testify.
Well, welcome to another His Stories broadcast, and we're so glad that you're with us. We have a couple special guests with us, but before we go to them, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just give you praise. And number one, just thank you that we can call you Father. Mm. Lord, what a precious and great opportunity we have to be able to call the creator of the universe, Daddy. Mm-hmm. Lord, I thank you that you care enough about us, that you know every part of who we are. Lord, I ask you to bless these next few moments, that they be just an honor and glory to you. And those that are listening, may you have an opening ear and an open heart. Just give you praise. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, afternoon, whatever the deal. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing, Kevin?
It's been one of those weeks, I guess, and so far, and it's only starting.
When you say one of those,
yeah.
What do you mean exactly?
I have to plead the fifth on a couple elements
okay.
here, but it's for the most part, it's just been kind of like, you know, God's good, and I have to keep resting in that.
one of those weeks.
Yeah, just kind of go, yeah. Oh boy.
God, you're so good. You're so good. So very good. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, I wish I could be more specific, but since we're on the air.
Right. I know what you mean. It's been one of those weeks for me as well.
Yeah.
Let's just say, God is good.
Yeah, God is good. All the time.
All the time. Confess it. Believe it. No, but yeah, it's been one of those weeks as well. But, you know, it's true. I know we're joking about it, but it really isn't. There's times when we have to realize he is good.
Yeah, we could have whole things a lot worse, right?
So, absolutely. So. But enough about us. Mm-hmm. We have two special guests with us today. One is a returning guest. He's almost like a three-time guest because he's been rebroadcast already. But we have with us today Roger Walterhouse, and we have Brandon Lighty. And they're here with us today. So welcome to the His Stories podcast.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you.
Glad you're here.
Glad
to be here.
Good. Well, why don't you, Roger, we know a little bit about you. So we'll hear from Brandon first. Tell us a little bit about you, where you're from, and just some things about you.
All right. Yeah, I'd love to. All right, so, yeah, I'm Brandon, and I was born actually in Illinois, and I was raised there with my parents and everything, and my parents were, like, super big runners and all of that, so they would go out of state, and they would go a bunch of different places to go run in marathons and 5Ks and half marathons. They were really active, and they actually ended up starting a church down in Illinois called Joyful Spirit.
Okay.
They started in Bolingbrook, Illinois, and that's still going on right now, and that was one of their big major accomplishments.
Yeah.
And then I was their next major accomplishment.
Amen. That's cool.
But yeah, and then they had my sister a couple years later. Mm. And around when my sister was about 6, 9 months actually, we were going down to do a 5K race in Indiana. I believe it was Geist. I'm not sure.
Sure.
And as we were driving up there, we were in a 3-car accident.
Mm.
And it was really like one of those moments where God actually worked in all of our lives. They've done interviews with the people who found the car accident that were there and helped us get us out and everything. Okay. And it was one of those things where the entire car was wrecked. The car was totaled and everything. Mm. And everybody in the car was really injured.
Wow.
And then there's this, they've talked about how there was just this, it was not destroyed at all around my car seat and everything.
Wow.
Mm. It was just nothing. Mm. They were able to just pull me right out.
Oh my word.
Wow.
And then, so a few years later, after that, my mom ended up dying. She was in the hospital for a while. They had a couple surgeries that didn't exactly work, and she ended up dying there. And we had her funeral around kindergarten.
Wow!
And so I've been living up in Indiana with my grandparents since.
Okay, yeah. And your dad was he was injured severely, from what I understand.
Yeah. He's really there in the mind. It's just that motor functioning is really difficult.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it made it impossible, really, to care for his children.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
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 And so, Roger, why don't maybe you, if you could also introduce yourself to His Stories audience and kind of reintroduce and tell them who you are as well.
Sure. My name's Roger Walderhouse, and grew up and lived in Elkhart, Indiana most of my life. I went to Bethel College here locally and got my ministry degree. I've been involved in pastoral ministry all of my adult life, and most recently have been involved with a youth ministry at our local church here in Mishawaka, Indiana. And that's where I met Brandon. Okay. When Brandon's age group was coming through into sixth grade, I at the same time was trying to figure out where I fit into a pastoral role. And it just so happened that I inherited about 14 or 15 squirrely sixth grade boys to pastor.
Wow.
And Brandon was one of the squirreliest in that group.
This is true.
And,
he's not in
so, you know, it immediately it was one of those relationships that I knew Brandon, you know, you love all the kids, but there's a few kids that really stand out. And for me, Brandon really just, even at sixth grade, there was just so much just that I could see God doing in his life, his story, how the Lord saved him in that space around his car seat. I've heard that before. Mm-hmm. Just knowing there was some kind of grace there. Mm-hmm. And you can't help but not pay attention to situations like that where God says, I'm going to work in an extra special way around this individual. Right. You have to pay attention to that.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Now, how when you say you saw something, was there a particular gifting that you saw, or was there you're like, man, this one is different. It's certainly, yeah. I was talking about Moses, and you know, when he was young, he was a very beautiful, he was a comely child. There was something about him.
Yeah.
So at sixth grade, you know, he probably wasn't reciting scripture. He probably wasn't, you know, preaching, you know, at recess or anything. What was it about? What was it about him?
For me, as I've watched Brandon grow over the last few years, and it's been confirmed again and again and again, Brandon is a learner. He is so attentive and aware of what is happening in the world. Brandon doesn't take everything just gospel truth. He has to research it out a little bit. It has to make sense in his mind. He's very much almost like an engineer in that way, kind of that mindset of just really trying to understand this is why things work the way they work. But when he understands it and it makes sense in his mind, he's sold 100%. And I've seen that with him. I saw that when he was in sixth grade. I still see it now that he's going to be graduating here in a few weeks. Mm-hmm. It's been exciting to be a part of mentoring Brandon in his spiritual walk.
Yeah. Let me ask you, the accident happened, you said kindergarten, is that correct?
The accident happened when I was two and my mom was in the hospital for the next 3 years.
Wow. Okay. That's okay. That makes sense. I was just trying to track this. So
by
the time you met Roger, had you been going to church in between that period of time much or not?
It was definitely a weird situation because for a while my mom was still alive, because my mom was up in a hospital in Minnesota.
Right, yeah.
Oh, she was actually moved up there because that's where her parents were.
Okay.
And so we were transitioning from our house in Illinois to the house in Indiana to being up in Minnesota a lot. Mm-hmm. And so we really weren't plugged in. Our family wasn't at all, because my grandparents were trying to get that transition moving around.
Yeah, okay. So I wanted to kind of ask that question because primarily, you know, you've got this gap here, spiritually gap, that and it sounds like you're all over the place. And then, you come up and Roger mentioned you're squirrely. Well,
Oh, yeah.
Kind of makes sense, right? I mean, in many ways, you're kind of floating around to some aspects. Mm-hmm. And let me ask you this. Was there a lot of hurt that had come into your life from that point, and how did you deal with that? And how then, you meet up with Roger, who becomes your small group leader. How does that then, that hurt get dealt with? And I'm assuming there's hurt.
Yeah, there was definitely some hurt. I don't think I realized there was really hurt until around sophomore year, but looking back on it, I could definitely tell that there was hurt. I remember in fifth grade, talking to somebody at a church, like they were talking about how God always has a plan. I like started breaking down crying. And it was one of these like really weird moments that I like think back on. I was like, there was definitely a lot of hurt there. But I don't think I really like emphasized that hurt until really sophomore year, where I was really having that.
Yeah, I watched Brandon as he was growing up, knowing that there was probably going to, you know, it's almost like he had to grow into almost the maturity to understand everything that had happened to him. Mm-hmm. And knowing that there was probably going to come a moment in his life where it was like, wow, I kind of got a raw deal here, you know. And that all developed, like what he said, probably around his sophomore year. Mm-hmm. And it was a little precarious. We had to walk a pretty, pretty narrow little cliff path, you know, in his faith walk.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a moment where, after a big, big spiritual moment for Brandon, where he pulled me aside outside of the area where we had heard some really great teaching, and he just broke down, told me what was going on in his life, and just... I see that as probably the change, mm-hmm. where all of a sudden it was like the light bulb came on for you that, sure, I got a raw deal, but I've got a big God, mm-hmm. and he's going to help me navigate this. Mm-hmm. And really embracing that hurt that he had, rather than kind of holding God off at arm's length because of the hurt.
Right. Yeah. You know, that's amazing that this, and this all happened around your sophomore year.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's amazing that you came to that point, that breaking point, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I know adults who haven't reached that point.
Absolutely.
And so that's the place where then God can begin to heal.
Mm-hmm.
How's your perception, Brandon? How has your perception of God changed? I know, you know, you're a very ripe old age. but even from a child, you know, our perceptions of God mean everything. Mm-hmm. How has your perception of God changed over the past few years?
I really think that I used to think of God as the church. Like, I had this feeling that, like, so God is the church.
Okay.
And I've been able to separate that, like, through a lot of frustrations and through that sophomore year period where I was just like, I don't understand, why are the people who are supposed to be teaching me about God doing this? And I've really realized that God is bigger than the church, and God doesn't need the church, but God, like, God's kingdom can really work through that. I think you said that this morning.
The one thing that the highlights that we're talking about today is really being a spiritual dad or discipling. Mm-hmm. In your case, it's in many ways a spiritual dad,
right.
to Brandon. And so that's the one thing I think I've maybe forgot to highlight at the very beginning of the show, mm-hmm. is the fact that we want to just really emphasize the fact of discipling is so important.
Right.
And so when you have those critical moments like you had mentioned in your sophomore year, mm-hmm. there's someone there to wrap their arms around that person. And, you know, and parents are, you know, it's a great design to have parents, you know, to be able to do that. However, there's also, if you are a parent, it's great to have that other person around you as well to help with that. But if there are no parents that can do that, then, man, double portion, right? You know, to have that.
Brandon's grandparents have done a phenomenal job in raising him.
Yeah.
And they have been a support for him. I've seen them, you know, around him at events and different things that he's gone through in his life. But it can only go so far.
Yeah,
I think regardless, if he had been in a in a standard mom and dad situation, he still needs somebody to come alongside. We need that help. And, you know, it's been great to be a part of watching him develop and grow.
Yeah.
I don't have sons. I have two daughters. And so it's been kind of fun having those sixth grade boys growing up alongside me. And I actually call them my sons because they really become that for me. And I recognize that... that spiritual development in their lives has been so critical, just being there with them through that whole process.
Amen.
We'll say this. I know you want to jump in, Brandon, and we're going to let you do that. We're going to take a break, and we're going to delve in a little bit deeper with Brandon and Roger and talk a little bit more about spiritual fathering as it pertains to spiritual relationships. And we'll jump right back into that right after this. Well, hi, everybody. Normally, we would go into a commercial break right now, but Kevin and I would like to just share our hearts with you if we could.
Absolutely.
Once again, I'm Gil Michelle.
I'm Kevin.
And we're just talking to you about the fact that we're looking to do a little bit of fundraising. We're looking to establish our own studio, a podcast studio, and we need the equipment to do that and take these testimonies and record them all across the country.
Absolutely.
So Kevin, what are we trying to do?
Big goal. We're trying to raise $20,000.
That's right.
And so we would love to have you donate. It's a little bit of a faith step on our part, but we'd love you to help out spread this ministry across the country.
That's right. So if you would, please go to hisstoriespodcast.com and look for the donate link and see how you can give toward this goal. We don't believe there's anything too hard for God, and we don't think you think that either.
Absolutely.
So please go to that website and give. We'd like to be able to set the studio up by the end of the year, and we'd love for your help in doing so.
What was the broadcast again?
HisStoryPodcast.com.
Yeah.
And we are back with Brandon Lighty and Roger Walterhouse. And we've been talking about spiritual fathering, spiritual parenting. I don't know. It just doesn't seem right to just call it mentoring. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And so let's jump back into your story. And Brandon, you're getting ready to say something before we went into the break. You want to share some of your deep wisdom?
I think. Oh, yeah. I've been around all these years.
That's right.
I really think, as we were talking about earlier, that breaking point that I hit.
Yeah.
Without Roger as that like mentor, and without like somebody just guiding me through like that breaking point, no matter what that breaking point is, I've like a bunch of my friends have really gone through a breaking point similar,
right,
in a completely different context, and haven't had somebody to be there,
right.
And I've seen them just fall off, and they're still falling off, and I don't know what like when they'll come back or if they'll come back.
Man, that's
and it's one of those things.
Point.
Where it's just, wow, like, if it weren't for this mentor, this father figure, because Roger really has become, like, a father figure to me through all these years, because he's been that constant.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it reminds me, there's different kids that that I work around a school in downtown, and they don't have, many of them do not have that at all whatsoever. Whatsoever. And there's a young man who goes to this particular school. It's for at-risk kids. He goes with his mom, who's a horrible situation, but he goes with her. He's underage, you know, so he needs to go with her to Arizona. He becomes 19 years of age. He's got all this hurt and pain from this life that he's living with his parents, so-called. And then he turns 19. She goes, "You're of legal age. Get out of my house." And so the only place he knows to go to is that school that gave him that love. And he literally is knocking at the door of that school, travels all the way from Arizona up to South Bend, Indiana, by himself at the age of 19. I would have had a clue how to do that at the age of 19, but he's enough of a survivor to do that. So when I mentioned, now he's like, okay, I got to find a job, and all, you know, he's trying to get his life together. So I say that because of the importance of investing into people's lives.
Yeah.
It's so critical. There are people your age, Brandon, that are just dying for this kind of activity to take place in their life.
Amen. So, well, we've talked about how we clearly see how you benefit from it.
Absolutely.
But Roger, how did it change you? You know, you know, sensei-student relationship. we always focus on what, you know, the young grasshopper is learning. But it's been said that those who are teaching, they get changed even as much, if not more, in that process. How has this whole process changed you over the years?
Well, for me, where I was felt like I should be involved in youth ministry is my wife Susan and I had been involved in a crisis counseling ministry, and so much of what I heard in that crisis counseling time were the men and women we were working with saying, when I was 12 years old, or when I was, you know, 10 years old, 14 years old, this happened to me, and this is why I'm doing this now. They're 40 years old, and what they're struggling with started when they were preteen or just early teen. And so that was what drew me into youth ministry. And then, you know, here I get assigned this group of sixth grade boys. I wasn't sure immediately if that was such a great plan. But within a few months, it was awesome to see this group develop. There have been times where, you know, going to church on Wednesday night, be with these boys, being there on Sunday morning with these guys was difficult. It was hard to make that commitment away from my family or whatever. But I'm so glad that I stuck with it, because now I look back on it and, you know, I can really relate with what the Apostle John says in his second and third John. It gives me no greater joy than to see my children walking in the truth.
Right.
And not all of them have navigated that with us, but there are a few that at the end of this 12th grade journey that they've been on, youth ministry journey, where they're standing there with me, and it's exciting.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Next week is our last small group together as high school students and mentor. And I have some tears as I think about that.
Kind of like a spiritual empty nester.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think back to the moments that we've had with these guys, you know, laughing about their love of bacon. And, you know, we've had some silly, silly times together. But at the same time, we've had some really deep conversations. And for anything, it's given me the angle and the avenue to really just let I've enjoyed this ministry. I've been in ministry 26, 27 years. I've enjoyed these 7 years with these guys almost as much as I think the whole time in ministry combined. It's just been an awesome experience for them.
Cool.
For me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Could you maybe point to a story or an incident? It could be just something that was kind of a landmark. And I know we talked about the crisis of faith and that breaking point.
We
have a story.
When these guys were, I think they were in sixth grade, seventh grade, I was praying one night. We were wrapping things up, and I feel a spit wad hit me right in the forehead as I was praying. I stopped my prayer, and I looked up, and I said, "Who just threw that?" And every single boy was as sober as they possibly could be. They just looked at me like,
"Not me."
And I said, "That's it. Look, I give up my Wednesday nights to be here. I could be doing something different." I gave him the real, real stern dad talk. And all of a sudden, one of the little guys, it wasn't Brandon, but one of the guys started crying. He said, "I'm so sorry. It was me. It was me." And I remember looking back on that. Every guy who was in that room that night, if I bring that story up, they'll remember exactly what they were thinking, how they were feeling.
Wow.
We disappointed this guy so much. And Brandon didn't even throw the paper wad, but I know he felt guilty.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And, so that, as I look back on that, again, they were just sixth grade guys at that point. Yeah. But just even that, the trust that now has developed with these guys, it started because I wasn't afraid to call them out. I wasn't afraid to say, "Hey, that was wrong."
Right.
And through the process, I've been there at soccer games and basketball games and have been to concerts. And there's nothing quite like a seventh grade band concert, when you're a parent, it's great.
Yeah,
but when
it's a little painful.
When you go there voluntarily, it can get a little harsh.
Is that even a clarinet?
Yeah, right. So, it's been exciting to see that whole process going on.
good. What has been, how do I ask this? When you're dealing with sixth grade boys, let's just say middle schoolers, there's a lot of conversations that probably center around, girls.
Mm-hmm.
How do you navigate that with a group of boys, raging hormones? Because we're in a society that's a real, it's a real thing. And it's always been a real thing. It's in your face.
Yeah.
How do you deal with the whole subject of sex and opposite sex?
I'm going to let Brandon answer that because I want to hear his perspective.
Okay,
good. From a student, how have I done that?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I know what I would say, but I'll let Brandon answer that.
I think Roger was just really open about everything in his life. And that brutal honesty really let us come out and be really honest with him about everything that we were going through.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't just translate into middle school. Once we got into high school and more things started happening that, I think all of the people in the small group were really just ready to talk with Roger about anything. I know a few of my friends who were in the small group who actually ended up leaving the church will still call Roger up.
Wow.
From time to time when they have those situations, just because they know that Roger's going to be honest with them and Roger's going to speak that truth into them.
Good.
Wow, that's good to hear. And there's a humbleness that because Roger was showing of a humbleness of being open, because when you come across someone who's not that, it is very difficult then to open up to that individual then, because they're perfect, right? And so it's hard to talk to someone that is at least thought of as perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the transparency.
I think one of the most critical things for being a spiritual mentor or father is for us to keep in mind that it's not our spiritual victories that really spur these kids on. It's how we recover from our spiritual failures and being genuine and honest with them about that. The reality is that life is a lot of failures, right?
Yeah.
And if we can demonstrate both the great things that are happening in our lives and celebrate that with the kids that we're helping, but also being super honest about some of the real stuff, in our lives. I think that's so critical. And I think I see the results of that with these students' lives. They even last night had a conversation with a young man about some challenges I've had in my past, and it was awesome to see him just want advice. How do I get through this? How do I navigate this?
Right. Now, Brandon, you've kind of come up in this youth ministry with all these young men. Now they're young men. And so it's almost becomes like a band of brothers. It's sort of the same kind of, we came up in army together, or we played sports together, or what have you. And like you said, not all the guys are serving the Lord. Some still are. What if you could maybe nail down the difference or the thing, the one thing that has enabled young men like yourself to kind of keep walking with the Lord and those who have not, what would it be?
Honestly, I'd probably say that like hard mentorship, that brutal, honest mentorship. Mm-hmm. When Roger has been there through all of these times, and I really believe that if it weren't for Roger, I would be going down a lot of these like same paths. And a lot of these mm-hmm. kids who I was with mm-hmm. weren't able to come to our church anymore, and so they lost that mentorship with Roger.
Okay.
And a lot of our kids were going through struggles but weren't being open and honest about it.
Yeah.
And so they weren't able to have that mentorship at mm-hmm. the same point.
Gotcha.
A lot of that stuff was happening at the exact same point. So Roger was he was ready to deal with that.
It's right.
Just, it takes that personal responsibility of going like, I need help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow. That's
great. Man, I think that informs a lot of people who are in youth ministry. Because, you know, you get into this thing, like what you say, Roger, and you see some do well, you see some don't, and I don't know, if you're in ministry, you may feel like, man, what could I have done? You know, to save that one or this one. It's good to know. I think you've informed and probably encouraged a lot of people who are out there.
Yeah. It has been hard to watch some of those kids walk away. You know, I've invested so much into them. But at the same token, I can honestly say I've poured everything I can, mm-hmm. you know, into those kids. And there's a point where I've got to just be like, I got to almost let this go.
Right?
Yeah. It's your decision.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Brandon, real quickly. You've been disciple mm-hmm. For a while now. Where does it go from here? Because mm-hmm. A disciple is the disciple, correct? so how does that take shape in your life?
Well, that's actually what I've been doing the past couple of years.
Nice.
I've went down and I've started leading a small group of sixth graders.
Yes! That's awesome, so, man.
They're in eighth grade now, and they're about to go into high school. We actually have a little retreat this weekend, like just giving them hope, really? Like graduating with them and everything.
Awesome.
And it's fantastic. Yeah. I've loved watching them grow.
I'm a spiritual grandfather. It's exciting.
Yeah. Now he's watching these squirrely.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, man. Man, I feel like I deserve it. Like, yeah. I'm like, oh, my, Roger.
Man. That's the way you had to go through it.
Yeah. I love it. That's awesome.
We only got a couple minutes left, but 30 seconds. It's someday we'll need to hear you play your instruments
and that kind of thing
too, because I hear that you're just incredible at worship and being able to lead music.
Thank you.
So,
I love that.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. But maybe let's just close in prayer.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Okay, I can do that.
Yeah.
Father in heaven, just give you praise. It's so wonderful to hear how you're working in the lives of people, and it's through you. It's not through anybody else. It's through you. And Lord, I thank you for moving Roger to do this. Lord, I thank you for Brandon being able to receive this, Lord.
Yeah.
And now it's there is a Roger is a spiritual grandfather. So I give you praise for all of this. I thank you for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you for listening to His Stories Broadcast. We hope that you take a moment to look at us online for more encouraging stories of God transforming lives. We would also like to hear your stories, so drop us a line at hisstoriesbroadcast.com. That's hisstoriesbroadcast.com to add your part to the story God is telling.